As I performed at the Wrangler in Elk Grove, 20 minutes later, I looked over to my band and something hit me in the shoulder. And my band's just going, oh my God, and they're dying laughing. I'm thinking, okay. So I look back and it was camo underwear from a drunk cowboy guy in there.
And, oh, wow.
ripped off his underwear and threw them out of me and they landed and stuck on my shoulder.
Welcome to Not in a Huff with Jackson Huff, where we interview newsmakers, storytellers, and all-around interesting people. Sit back, relax, unless you're driving, and enjoy the show. Here's Jackson.
Hello, hello, hello. I am Jackson Huff. This is Not in a Huff. Thanks so much for joining me. As always, really appreciate it. This week, speaking with Chad Bushnell. Now, Chad is another emerging country artist. If you've listened to this podcast once or twice, you know the drill. I've had almost a dozen different country artists on at this point. I was blessed to, get in with the right people and some people that know some up-and-coming people on the Nashville scene. And Chad is one of those people. So we're going to talk a little bit about his new music. We're going to talk about his inspiration for writing. We're going to talk a little bit about kind of the journey into country music, some amazing people that he's opened up for. It was a really cool conversation. You know, these conversations are always relatively short. The idea is just learn a little bit about the artist, decide whether, hey, I want to check out some of their music and kind of go from there. Always enjoy these conversations. This conversation with Chad is no different. Really great guy. We caught him in the middle of, hunting season, where he talked a little bit about that, which reminds me, he also has a side business that he makes beef jerky. So just really, really awesome guy. I think you're going to enjoy this one. And I think you're going to enjoy his music too. So if you would, go listen to him on Spotify. Go check him out on all his social medias. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, please go follow and subscribe on Apple and Spotify as well. While you're listening to Chad, just go jump over to this podcast is Spotify and follow along. Really, really appreciate that. But let's just get right to the interview with Chad. Here is Chad Bushnell.
Bushnell, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm going to let you do the heavy lifting. Just introduce yourself.
Everybody, my name's Chad Bushnell, and I'm glad to be here on this podcast.
Happy to have you. I want to, normally we go right into kind of what started your passion for music, but I want to take a detour first, because I heard growing up you were into the rodeo, and that holds a special place in my heart, not because I know anything about rodeo. It's because I want to know more about it, and I've been working with the marketing team for PBR, Professional Bull Riders. Having a few people on, they've invited me to like their media day, but I've never been able to come. So I want to know more about rodeo. I say all that to set you up to say I wasn't a bull rider. I did something else, but tell us about what you did with rodeo.
Man, I grew up in a rodeo family. I was really blessed. You know, both sides of my family were ranchers, and my parents were rodeo athletes. You know, my mom was a barrel racer, and my dad rode bulls and bucking horses. And so, you know, we grew up in that lifestyle, and took us to junior rodeos, high school rodeos. And I had a great opportunity to get to try a lot of different things at a young age. And then I went to the timed event. I was a timey. So I team roped and steer wrestled, and great experience. And I pretty much always knew I wanted to do music. So that was, you know, I did it as long as I, you know, pretty much through my junior high school years, high school, a little bit of college, and that was it.
I got you. Well, we're not going to spend too much time on this because we got so much to talk about with music, but there's going to be people that are going to be listening to this and say, whoa, you just mentioned a bunch of stuff. I have no idea what it is. What you said, team rope, something wrestle. What is that exactly?
Yeah, team rope. So there's two, you know, people on horses, and one guy ropes the head and the horns, and one ropes the heels, and they stretch them out and they get a time. That's team roping. And then steer wrestling, you basically run out of a rope and shoot, and you jump on a steer and throw it on its back.
So I assume that these are very different kind of, animals than what you're riding, because I don't think you're going to throw any of those big guys on their backs.
Nope. Steers, usually for steer wrestling, you're around 600 pounds. Big enough, you know, but, you know, that was great. I mean, I love steer wrestling, especially because it was in between team roping and bull riding, I would say. get that adrenaline rush, and it's a little bit dangerous, but not like bull riding because, you know, when you after you throw them, they don't come after you. The steer, so yeah.
Yeah, now that makes sense. Well, again, I could spend a bunch of time on this because I've been working for a while with PBR, but I haven't gotten it on yet, but I'm going to leave the rest of that for them. Let's talk about your music. What created that passion? You talked about how you always knew that you wanted to do it. Let's talk a little bit about the beginning.
Man, so, you know, growing up, my dad played in a local country band in Northern California, and I was enamored by it at a young age. I mean, I was, you know, every time they did rehearsal, I was just always, I loved everything about it, and, you know, I'd always be there. I performed at a church when I was little, and I mean, they had me sing the national anthem when I was 3 or 4 at junior rodeos, and just, you know, ever since then, I just knew that's what I wanted to do, basically, and that was the start.
Yeah. So when it comes to releasing music, are you somebody who, you know, are you involved in all I guess facets of it? Do you do the, you know, the writing of the music, the writing of the lyrics, and obviously the singing, or where are you at with all of that? I don't know whether you're the singer songwriter or where it happens there.
Man, I prefer to be involved in all of it. I mean, I love to, you know, write my own music. I love to love the production part. I mean, I love to be in there when the, you know, the band's performing. I normally do, you know, these last 2 or 3 years, I get so busy playing shows that sometimes, you know, I take songs from other people, especially when like someone like Brian White pitches me a song, or, you know, Whiskey to Work, one of the leading song off my last album. Dan Hudson was on there. Terry Lee Palmer, who's John Party's guitar player. So, you know, it was pretty cool when you get songs from people like that. And so I take those, but, you know, I do prefer to write my own song and be involved in the whole production of it, you know, so.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Let's start talking about some of your music. I know that you recently released a song, Imperfect Prayer. Talk a little bit about that song, where your involvement with it is, and then also kind of the inspiration behind it all, and you know, the story of what the music is.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm blessed to be able to do a lot of Christian country music, and, you know, Thank God's been my biggest song. I released that in 2021. It hit number one on Christian country, and so basically Imperfect Prayer was kind of the follow-up single to that, you know. And so I got in the writing room with the same guys, and I said, man, guys, Thank God did well, and so I want to write something. I had the idea for Thank God, they kind of had the idea for Imperfect Prayer, so I sort of went along with them, and we wrote this song. And Kimo Forrest actually produced this song, and I kind of let him take the reins. I mean, I recorded the best I could with my acoustic and vocals, sent it to him, and he put his own touch on it. And obviously Kimo Forrest plays lead guitar for Alabama, and he plays drums for John Michael Montgomery, so very talented musician. And I kind of let him put his own spin on what I gave him, so
So for people who haven't heard either song, you know, what's the story behind the songs? Because that's the cool thing about country music. I have people on from all walks of life, not even all music, but it seems like country, they always have a little bit of a story to them that you can follow. So talk about that.
Yes. You know, I was really, you know, getting to perform at Cowboy Church, especially growing up. I got involved in performing at Cowboy Church in Nashville. And, you know, I got to meet Lisa Daggs, who's a pretty heavy hitter in the Christian country music world. And I entered this contest in 2018. I ended up winning the California contest. And I went to Nationals in Nashville, ended up in the reserve slot, but I still got to do a single song recording contract with Ascend Music. And they put What Would Jesus Do out, and it hit number one. And that was the first time in my life after I got a number one Christian country single. The radio stations were actually reaching out, saying, hey, where's your next single? And I'm like, that's a good question. And so That Ain't My Church was my second one. It hit number one as well. And so, you know, and obviously I, you know, Christian country thing, but I'm also a little bit, you know, I go to church, I'm a believer, but I still like to have a beer. And so I went to these guys. I said, hey, guys, I'm really, really flattered in Nashville that, you know, I'm getting to put out these Christian country songs, but I'd like to put something out that's kind of middle of the road, you know, kind of a beer and a Bible thing. That's kind of more of how I am. And so Corey just said it, Thank God, you know, and we all struggle, obviously. And basically the hook is, Thank God I'm not the only one working on me. And so that's how Thank God came about. And basically, yeah.
No, I love that. And I love that you mentioned, you know, the Bible and a beer, because looking, you know, quickly before our interview and your top songs on Spotify, you know, I guess we're turning not water into wine, but water into whiskey, because there's a lot of your music has to do with whiskey. And you just mentioned earlier, one of your biggest songs is that song Whiskey to Work. Talk a little bit about that song, if you would. That's your most played song on Spotify.
Yeah, and that's, you know, one, unfortunately, I can't take the credit for writing that one, but I was performing at the local in Nashville, which is one of the main spots where, you know, singer-songwriters go and they share their songs with the crowd and get to see, you know, other writers and get reactions. And we were sitting there, and they always play before the songwriter nights, they play everybody's music that's playing in there that night, which is kind of cool. I think they'll put on a playlist for an hour. And all of a sudden we're sitting there, my mom and I heard Whiskey to Work, and we're like, wow, this is a great song. And so I asked Dan, I said, man, what's this Whiskey to Work song we just heard? And he's like, oh, you know, actually I wrote that. And Dan's the host of the Porchlight Pickers. And I said, man, such a great song. The guy that did, I said, anyway, long story short, I ended up asking him, could I record this song, put my own spin on it? And he said, oh, of course. And so I took it to Texas. I kind of put a more of a Texas rock country kind of spin on it. And that's how it came out. And it's been my best song. It's been playing on, you know, all kinds of stations around the country. And it's just, I've been blessed to be able to have that song. So.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a catchy song. I listened to it myself. I enjoyed it. And I'll tell you, as somebody who has a podcast, I'm always kind of a fan of a turn of phrase and things that just sound funny when you put the words together. So I saw the title of another song called Pass the Sushi, which I thought was kind of funny. I thought, okay, but finally, because all these top songs have the word whiskey in it, so I thought, okay, maybe this song has something else. I listened to it. It talks about whiskey too, which made me laugh as well. But talk about that song, because I think when, you know, when somebody's flipping through a list of country songs, that's going to stand out, something called Pass the Sushi. And I listened to it, and I like kind of the theming behind that too.
Yeah. So, you know, I always like to put a little humor. And when I, you know, put this album out, I needed just a couple more songs. I said, man, a lot of these songs are serious, you know, and well, Whiskey to Work's not really, but a lot of the songs on there were pretty serious. I said, I really need something funny to kind of break it up. And Corey Lee Barker pitched me a bunch of songs who co-wrote Perfect Prayer. And I said, hey, that's the song right there. And I picked it. And unfortunately, I don't have a better story behind it. I took it from Corey. But, you know, I mean, there are quite a few songs I did write on the last album. But Pass the Sushi was written by Corey Lee Barker. So,
yeah, very, very cool. Well, I guess let's get past just individual songs. I want to talk about you in the industry. Well, I mean, what's you've been in the industry for a good little while, but you're not old and grizzled yet. So what's been the coolest part of kind of that beginning in your breakthrough in the industry?
Man, just, you know, I love to perform. I really do. I mean, I love to write, record, all that's great, but I mean, I'd love to be out touring and performing. I mean, I get, especially this summer, I mean, it's really been a dream come true. Some of the shows I've gotten to do, I mean, I have to say it, this summer's just been kind of unreal. Got to perform at like, Kennedy Meadows Resort for this big country music festival, which, you know, is probably the coolest resort I've been to. It's a pack station. And just you know, getting to do stuff like that is really, that's my favorite part. I love to travel and perform. And this next year, I mean, we have plans to be in Arizona doing a tour. This year, I actually got to do my first East Coast tour. I performed in Tennessee, North Carolina, and South Carolina, and that was a first for me. And so, I mean, that's really what I like to do is perform, so.
No, that's amazing. And if you've ever listened to me interview anyone else in the music world, I always ask a question that people kind of like to hem-haw and give a political answer to, but I feel like maybe you're going to answer it based on what you just said. So I always like to ask people, if you had to pick songwriting or performing, because a lot of people, you know, they say, I love to write songs, and the only way that I'm going to make it successful is to perform them, or the other way around. Hey, I love to perform, and the only way that it's going to go somewhere is I've got to write something. So which way what do you prefer more, the writing or the performing?
Man, that's kind of a tough one. I mean, it's, you know, as you get older, the performing does get tough, you know, because especially, you know, until you get to the point where you can have a tour bus and someone driving you. I mean, it's a lot. I mean, we have 3 or 4 day runs where I'm still, you know, we're in a truck or a van. I'm doing most of the driving. You know, most of the time pretty much sounds provided, which helps a lot, but still setting up all your back line, your drums, your guitars and all that. I mean, it's a lot of work. And so 3, 4 days of that, you know, that's where it does become a grind. And so the writing, you know, I mean, I've gotten to write with a lot of hit songwriters and talk to them. The writing's really great part of it too, but I do love to tour and perform. So, I mean, that's where my heart is. So I'd have to say
Yeah.
that.
Yeah. I always like to ask too, what's the strangest place that you performed? The craziest one I've heard while you think about it is somebody had to sing Gretchen Wilson's Redneck Woman in a Catholic church, which seems a little bit wild to me. What's the craziest place that you've had to perform?
That's a tough one, man.
Yeah.
I have some stories about some of the places, you know, because I've gotten to do some of the coolest shows. I mean, I got to open for Kris Kristofferson 5 years ago. That was really a highlight of my career, you know, songwriter of songwriters. But man, one of my strangest things is I performed at the Wrangler in Elk Grove, which is near Sacramento, California. And well, I mean, I got to be careful what I say, but we got flashed by a little old lady. So about 20 minutes later, I looked over to my band and something hit me in the shoulder. And so first it was a piece of clothing. So first thing in my mind, okay, it's the bra from the old lady. And my band's just going, oh my God. And they're dying laughing. I'm thinking, okay. So I look back and it was camo underwear from a drunk cowboy guy in there and
Oh, wow.
ripped off his underwear and threw him out of me. And they landed and stuck on my shoulder, which sounds really wrong too. And so that's probably my craziest experience of performing shows. So
I feel like if you can keep it together and perform when people are literally throwing their clothes at you, both men, women, young, old, I think that you're setting yourself up for success, right?
yeah, it was one. I always tell that story because people ask me that question. I said, yeah, that was probably the craziest, most awkward moment. And yeah, it was interesting. So.
Yeah, it certainly sounds like it. And you mentioned a minute ago Kris Kristofferson, which obviously is a huge songwriter in all worlds, whether it's country or folk, a huge person. Somebody, I think, just in the time of this recording, it just has just passed away last week, I believe. So it's pretty timely there. But talk a little bit about some of the people you've opened for, because definitely some heavy hitters in the world of music.
Scotty McCreery, Dwight Yoakam, who Dwight's, you know, kind of my hero, and Lee Bryce. Lee Bryce has been my absolute best opening experience, though, because he was just the coolest dude, and I didn't expect that really. Going into it, but Lee Bryce, I mean, he was very nice. He invited us on his bus after the show for some beers. We went afterwards and signed autographs, and I mean, he was just overall great guy. And his brother Lewis Bryce is equally as nice. So, Mark Chestnut. And this year we got to open for Rodney Atkins. He was really cool. And hopefully next year I'm anxious to see who we're going to get to open for. So
Yeah. I always like to ask too about what's your favorite music? I mean, I've just because you're a country artist doesn't necessarily mean that's what you like to listen to on your off time. I've had some folk singers that love screamo. What, when you're not recording, you're not picking your next song, what do you like to listen to?
man, I love listening to Bob and Tom, you know, in the rock station. So I listen to I li every time, because actually when I'm not performing, I shoe horses a little bit. I work as a farrier, and I've still kept that. My dad's a farrier, and so sometimes I'll turn on the rock station or even the pop station sometimes too. I like that. And my wife's a huge Bruno Mars fan, and so we've been to see Bruno Mars twice, and I highly recommend going watching him. He puts on a great show. So.
Well, that's awesome. I don't know whether you know a lot about Bob and Tom, but they're from Indianapolis, where I am. So I've met them several times. Obviously, Bob has retired a long time ago, but yeah, they're from Indianapolis. That's where it's all recorded from.
Wow. Well, I listen to that station when I'm working because just, you know, it's good to have a good laugh in the morning. So if you see him, tell him I said hi.
Okay, I'll do it. I want you now to talk about advice for others. That's something I'm sure you've been asked plenty of times, but people that are listening to this and want to get into the world of music, what advice do you have for them?
Man, you know, that's always tough. I think getting out and performing and making fans, and you can't really go wrong with that, because that's how I've gotten all the opportunities to get to do what I get to do and open. And living in Northern California, I'm back and forth from Nashville 4 times a year at least. You know, I think the combination of just going out and doing acoustic shows and full band shows, that really, you know, the fan base is everything, I think, because that's just what leads you to be able to get out and make money doing shows. And the money kind of drives, I just say the money kind of drives a lot of it, pretty much everything. And so, yeah, writing songs, I mean, as much as you can co-write too, but, you know, I prefer to write by myself, but, you know, any chance I get to write with someone back in Nashville, I take it.
I love that. And we've already mentioned your songs, you know, they're the title, what they're about, but I always like to kind of just get to the heart of if somebody finds you on Spotify, what's your sound? What's the genre of your music? And I hate to ask this question about, you know, what do you compare yourself to? Cause obviously, you know, you're your own person, but if you like this kind of music, or if you like this person, you're going to like, you know, what I've got out. So what's your sound?
Man, probably it's kind of a combo. I mean, really just that Y2K country sound, you know, in the 2000s. I mean, of course, there's some 90s country influence because that's, I've worked with a lot of those guys, Dave Gibson, Kemo Forest. They produced me. And I mean, a little bit of Texas country influence, that red dirt country. It's kind of like a blend of the 90s country, Y2K country with the Texas country sound, I guess is what you call it. If that makes sense. So kind of like Aaron Watts and Casey Donahue, but with also the, you know, Jake Owen, Jason Aldean kind of been there too. So
it sounds like it's just Chad Bushnell sound, right?
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. I want to now switch because, you know, we started out with rodeo. We spent a lot of time on your music, but now we've got to talk about something else. You've got a beef jerky line. What's that all about?
Yeah. So that was something that, you know, because I used to shoe a lot more horses before the music kind of was taken off. And to be able to shoe horses, you got to be in shape, you know, and I like to eat a lot of protein. So there was a little hole in the wall, a place called It's Jerky. This was like 8 or 10 years ago. And my dad was telling me about it, and it's all natural, which, because some of the stuff at the gas station was just kind of wigging me out with my blood sugar. And so started going to It's Jerky, and I started buying their stuff when I was working because it didn't mess with my system. And so through the years, they got really successful. Now they have like 2 warehouses. They're all over California, Oregon. They've been really successful. They're in Costco. So in 2020, when COVID hit, I said, man, I need to do something else to make money since all my shows canceled. And so I said, why not try Chad Bushnell jerky? And I reached out, and it worked out for me. And it's been really great. It's in about 8 to 10 stores right now. I sell it at different places, and yeah, it's a great deal. So It's Jerky. It's Chad Bushnell. It's Jerky, basically, is what it's called. So
what, I mean, you created this jerky. What's the flavors? What have you, I mean, you said that, so you sound like you've kind of partnered with another company. So is it just kind of things that they already had and it's putting your branding on it, or have you created your own formula, so to speak? I know nothing about jerky, but.
Well, right now it's their thing. So the honey pepper is their best seller, and and then there's regular pepper and garlic. Those are the 3 flavors I have. So basically it's a collaboration with their brand, but I've been sort of talking to them about doing my own flavor because I have some ideas. And then, you know, they've went on, they have teriyaki, they have the thick and zesty, which is my favorite. And that basically I've got to give them credit for coming up with the flavors, but the honey pepper, if you like something just sweet, and it's the bomb, you know, so. I'll have to send you a little bag.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, more to come when it comes to your jerky. You said you got other flavors, more to come when it comes to your music. How are people going to find your music? And I guess the jerky too. Shout out all of your connection points that you want to.
Yeah. So of course, Chad Bushnell Music on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and you know, YouTube as well. And then all my music's on Spotify, iTunes, my website's chadbushnell.com. And you can actually order the jerky at chadbushnell.com if you go on there. And my music, you can order my albums on chadbushnell.com as well. And so, yeah, that's all my platforms.
I got you. Well, I really, really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much, Chad.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this. And yeah, this is awesome.
So that was Chad Bushnell. I really appreciate him coming on. I've really appreciated and enjoyed his music since he joined me a few weeks ago. Definitely some great kind of back to your roots country music. Thought it was really, really awesome. You know, we get into all the different songs. He's got some just tried and true classics when it comes to, you know, the heartache and trucks and stuff like that. But he's also got some really unique ones as well. So I think you'll find something that you enjoy. I urge you to check him out on Spotify. Follow along with him on all his other social media. All that will be in the show notes. If this is your first time listening to this podcast, so you haven't already, go follow along with it. Really appreciate that. Had really a lot of artists on in the past, if that's your thing. But if it's not, you know, people from true crime to actors to Olympic gold medalists, all kinds of people. So hope you'll follow along. Not Enough Podcast on Instagram, Not Enough Podcast on TikTok, JacksonHuff.com, Not Enough with JacksonHuff on Facebook. Of course, leave that 5-star review on Apple and on Spotify. Leave the written review on Apple. Always really helps. But we'll see you next week. Take it away, Chris.
This has been Not in a Huff with Jackson Huff. Thank you for listening. Be sure to join us next time where we will interview another amazing guest who is sure to make you laugh or make you think. Or, hey, maybe even both. But until then, keep being awesome.